A 55-year-old man charged with running down an Aboriginal teenager in his car is due to face court in Perth today. Yesterday's court hearing was hijacked by protesters marching through Kalgoorlie's main street. Police say the situation quickly escalated and outnumbered officers were pelted with rocks and bottles. Aboriginal elder Aubrey Lynch has called for calm.
No, really, we don't like violence anywhere in any case, you know, because violence could cause more trouble.
Hundreds attended a candlelight vigil for 14-year-old Elijah Doughty last night.
Now, chances are, just imagine if that had happened in the United States, and another Black Lives Matter flare-up, maybe. It would have got maybe a bit more attention in this country. But no, that was Kalgoorlie right here. So that story kind of sank from view. It barely flickered in our news cycle. A young Aboriginal boy killed in circumstances police have deemed to be manslaughter. Now, there's a pattern there. As a pretty searing article in New Matilda this week put it, here's the headline, White Man's Manslaughter, Black Man's Murder. Which makes you wonder sometimes whether Black Lives Matter is more of a question in white Australia than a statement of fact. Lots to chew over there. Let's talk it through a bit. Professor Graceland Smallwood is from James Cook University, a long-time activist on First Nations issues. Mary Cowley is the former CEO of Aboriginal Family Violence Legal Service in Western Australia. Chris Graham is the publisher and editor of New Matilda. They join us now. Graceland, can I start with you? Those Aboriginal people so angry in Kalgoorlie this week. Why? Explain that mood to us.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for allowing me to be on the program. This is not the first time that this type of death has occurred in this country, and it just appears to be normal behaviour in Australia. But as you mentioned, it certainly wouldn't just have the, you know, let's get back to business as usual if it was in America. And, you know, we don't have to talk too much about this case because it's still pending legally, but you just have to have a look at the case of Mr. Ward, young Murungi on Palm Island, young Errol Wiles run over by a carload of whites, and I think they did 6 to 12 months jail, all manslaughter. The police officer Hurley not only was charged with manslaughter, was set free by an all-white jury. And just almost every black death in custody in this country, every black death in this country has had no justice. So Australia has to face the reality that evidence-based research is clearly identifying that one, racism is a fact of life, two, we are in the minority, and three, the whole world now is watching of this disgraceful behaviour and the unresolved grief, loss and trauma, and the racism within the entire system. And why wouldn't people demonstrate? And let me remind the public that if rocks weren't thrown, this would not have even made the mainstream media. And Chris Graham has put it all in one perspective by his last article in The Guardian. And the whole world is now reading, and Australia's become an embarrassment to the United Nations, who have signed off with their covenant of civil and political rights. So why would a demonstration not be occurring? We need white Australia to find out about the conspiracy of silence in this country and start being outspoken, because if those deaths were white folks, there would be a public outcry and politicians would be sacked.
Let's go to you, Chris Graham, because you've pulled this all together. I mean, the cases there that Graceland refers to and more, and there's a pattern of legal behaviour through here.
Well, there is, Jonathan, and one of the things I'd acknowledge is that police may well upgrade the charges from manslaughter to murder. That's a possibility. But no sane Aboriginal person in Kalgoorlie could be asked to have any real faith in a justice system that has delivered the sorts of results that Graceland just mentioned. Like in the case of Mr. Ward, no one was held responsible for a man being cooked in the back of a transport van. Morungi Dumaji, a police officer, was charged with manslaughter, acquitted, never lost a cent of pay. I mean, the list goes on and on. A man in Alice Springs, Mr. Ryder was beaten to death beside a riverbed. Five white youths convicted of manslaughter and served between 1 and 3.5 years. So the evidence is overwhelming that the justice system doesn't serve Aboriginal interests. And I think the response from residents in Kalgoorlie on Monday was not only entirely understandable, but when you think about it, it was very, very logical.
And the other point there, that Mary Cowley, to bring you in too, that Graceland makes as well, is it's the thing that was reported around Kalgoorlie, not so much the circumstances of the death, but the fact that there was violence, that there was violent Aboriginal people in the street was actually the keynote of those media reports.
Look, yes, Jonathan, I mean, you're absolutely correct. Violence was at the key. But however, it's probably a combination of a whole range of other factors that have occurred over the successive months that have led to this. So it's not just the one incident. That's the straw that broke the camel's back.
Mm.
But there are a whole range of other incidents that have probably led up to this throughout the whole state.
It makes you wonder, Grayston, why perhaps there isn't more anger expressed. I mean, it's that idea of a straw breaking the camel's back. It's almost as if there's either a resignation amongst Indigenous Australians at this situation, that it's clearly gone on since the occupation of this country, but or a sense of almost willing law to be better.
Look. My people have just been so constantly downtrodden since the 26th of January 1788, and many are so drained because we're attending funerals almost on a weekly basis all around this country. And racism and all of this brutality, trauma, while they're not running around shooting our peoples in the back and putting chains and locks on them, they're doing it through institutional racism. And it's so draining. And the life expectancy of our people is an absolute disgrace to a wealthy country, that our people are still suffering diseases that developing countries have eradicated. And our people have lost, many of our people have lost the fight because of the legislation of native title, the watering down of Mabo. It's dividing and conquering our families. But in saying all of that, we don't have the support of the majority of white Australians because of the negative stereotyping and the conspiracy of silence. And our people are just so drained. I mean, who on earth still puts interventions in and alcohol management plans in a wealthy country as Australia, instead of looking into poverty and racism and cleaning up all of the dreadful paternalistic legislation? Prohibition's never worked anywhere in the world. And saying, is our people giving up? Our people are so burnt out, so divided, and even any government organisations, black or white, that's getting government funding, you can't burn the hand that feeds them to speak out against them.
Grayson, you've been an activist in this area. Yeah, I mean, and you talk there of being burnt out, of that sense of despair. I mean, how does it feel like it's almost too late to have victory in this issue? I mean, is it too overwhelming?
Not at all. Especially the ABC is allowing us our say from our terms of reference, and high-profile groups. I'm actually speaking in front of 3,000 people today in a couple of hours' time in Sydney at the opening of a Scientology building. I mean, I'm not a Scientologist, but if Scientologists are giving black Australian activists a short speech on the truth of this country when there's people from all around the world attending, then whatever means necessary. I mean, the mainstream media has been totally controlled by the oppressor, and we are so grateful that today people like yourselves and the ABC are allowing activists go live and tell the truth how it is. My PhD thesis said it all. It was given to Nelson Mandela 4 years ago, and it was published by Routledge. And we need more of our activists to be writing the truth and hopefully getting it published so the whole world can see the embarrassment when the Australian government goes to the United Nations and talks up and condemns other countries for their violations of human rights, when we have one of the worst violations of human rights in our country, where our people are not even recognised, when evidence-based research shows that we've been here for over 40,000 years and one of the most oppressed people in the world, in the most wealthiest country of the world.
Sunday Extra here on RN. That's Professor Gracelyn Smallwood. She's from James Cook University. Mary Cowley joins you too, former CEO of Aboriginal Family Violence Legal Service in WA, and Chris Graham, publisher and editor of New Matilda. Chris, an issue here of a minority in this country being failed, of you know, a system, our legal system, which for all intents and purposes works well for the majority of Australians, but here are so many instances in which it lets down first Australians.
Oh, look, there's way too many to cover on Radio National in a single day. We'd need a week, I think. If you look at the statistics, though, they're world-beating and they're quite extraordinary. Western Australia, where this young boy died, has the highest Indigenous incarceration rate on earth. Its incarceration rate is 8.5 times greater of black males than it was under apartheid South Africa, at the height of apartheid. And there's not a state or territory in Australia that jails black males at a rate less than apartheid South Africa, which is an extraordinary statistic. We have so many world-beating statistics. We have the highest recorded rate of rheumatic heart disease in the world, in Central Australia. The suicide rates of young First Nations kids is the highest in the world. As Gracelyn put it earlier, the life expectancy of First Nations people here is appalling, and it's about, I think, the third or fourth worst in the world.
And yet we have a prominent opinion leader in this country, that the top post on his blog right now today says that the death of Elijah Doughty is just an example of derelict Indigenous parenting. His family's fault.
I know, and one of the things that really puzzles me about that is that particular commentator gets a platform everywhere, but people like Mary and Gracelyn don't. And I mean, I think personally the ABC's as guilty of that as others, obviously not you, Jonathan, but mainstream media, why they have ignored this story, I don't know. When Mulrunji Doomadgee was beaten to death on the floor of the Watch House in Palm Island in 2004, one story was filed on that in the week after, until Aboriginal people on that island burnt the police station down and the courthouse. And then the media was very, very interested. And it's only through that media interest that we came to find that the staggering level of attempted cover-up by police. I mean, the officer who was responsible for that death and has admitted responsibility for that death was drinking beer with the police sent from the Ethical Standards Command to ensure a transparent and honest investigation later that night. I mean, Mulrunji's body probably hadn't even fully cooled in the morgue, and the police officer who beat him to death was drinking beer with the cops investigating him.
Mary Cowley, the solutions to this are obviously incredibly complex, but how do we begin? Are there models that show us the way in which we can start to address the issues that appear to be endemic in the application of Australian law?
Look, there is. We're talking about something along the lines of social reinvestment. Social reinvestment is also looking at incorporating the broader community to get the support from the broader community to start to invest in programs and initiatives that have some outcomes to the benefit of the Aboriginal people. If we don't go down that path, we're going to constantly see what's transpired in the nation over the past few hundred years in regards to the loss of our brothers, sisters, uncles, aunties, and more importantly, starting to see an increase in incarceration. And let's not also rule out the fact that whilst we're talking about an incident that has occurred in the southeast corridor of WA, let's also not rule out the fact that the Aboriginal women are being incarcerated at a very high number at this particular stage. Mm. But there are initiatives. I think Aboriginal people need to start taking control, and the government needs to support the control of those programs by those organisations.
Gracelyn, does white Australia listen to this? Do you sometimes get the sense that white Australia just wishes that first Australians would just go away? Is that what incarceration's about?
Look, Gary Foley, a great activist in this country, made a statement many years ago, and it hasn't changed. He said, if every black Australian dropped dead tomorrow, the unemployment in this country would quadruple. There are so many people, mostly non-Indigenous, are becoming multimillionaires on the poverty and the stress of my people. And whether we like it or not, evidence-based research is showing that white Australia are mostly racist. And we need that conspiracy of silence. I mean, how can we reconcile without the truth? I mean, Mandela said in front of me that in his country, they're having reconciliation with the truth. And in Australia, they're trying to have reconciliation without the truth. You can't just reconcile. I mean, they haven't even tipped the top of the iceberg about the genocide that's occurred in this country. And it's still very raw about the blackbirding of our people taken from the New Hebrides and brought over here with the sugarcane industry. They're wanting to say sorry with no apology. Most of our monies that have been earmarked for First Nations Australians are going to non-Indigenous peoples. Most of the programs are from a top-down approach, very westernised, and that's what government's giving ticks and flicks to. The programs that are culturally appropriate and working from a bottoms-up approach are screaming for human and monetary resources. So the government has to take responsibility for this because they know what programs that work. You only have to have a look at the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, how many recommendations have been implemented, the National Aboriginal Health Strategy, how many recommendations have been implemented, the National Aboriginal Education Policy, how many recommendations have been implemented, the Bringing Them Home Report. It is not rocket science to close the gap. Many people that are making money don't want the gap to close. And the genuine people that are needing the food, that needing the clean sanitation, needing jobs, are not getting it. And that's the majority of our people. So until this country is humiliated constantly around the world to say, stop talking about human rights from around the world and clean up your own yard, we will continue to have this cycle of abuse. But if we can change the attitude of one racist Australian into the truth and getting rid of the conspiracy of silence, we can start looking at a positive future for all Australians. But until such time, activists have to keep speaking out whatever means necessary.
Gracelyn, thank you. Look, it's if we take one thing from our conversation this morning, one phrase, and I think it's what Gracelyn just said to us then, Gracelyn Smallwood, that how can there be in this country reconciliation without truth? It's a really simple thing, but that's incredibly powerful. Thank you to our three guests this morning, Professor Gracelyn Smallwood, Mary Cowley and Chris Graham, reflecting on those events this week in Kalgoorlie.
Discover the best of RN on Facebook. Simply search for ABC RN.